and... Demons and Demonas. This is Warner Swopes coming to you live from the Nerd Management Studio in my basement. With me, as always,
Alec Ward.
And our producer, Justin Richard Smith.
Oh, Richard!
We're sans banter right now.
Yeah, yeah. Chris and Tiffany are going to join us later, possibly.
Yeah, who knows?
If not, they'll be on. They'll definitely be on the next one. Yeah. But we also have a special guest with us who has only been here via phone before.
Mm-hmm.
But this is Michael and Abnett.
Hi-de-ho, neighbor.
Michael in a bit, as he's sometimes referred to it. His name's spelled wrong because he uses a K instead of a C-H and stuff, so.
Is it weird that I, and you can call me an idiot, that's fine. I genuinely thought it was Mikkel, or Mikkel, something like that.
That's, you're an idiot.
Mikkel. Mikkel.
That's awful. I don't know a Mikkel.
Have you ever met a Mikkel?
French or
anything? It sounds like I tried to say his name, and then I had a stroke. Mikkel.
This is going to be an interesting show tonight, though, because we jumped into this and I didn't make a list. Like I did. The list is on the internet, but I didn't make one, for myself. Yeah. Might have to look at that. But, you know, we always start with Books of the Week, so that's an easy one.
Yeah.
So, Alec, you go, because I got to look up these notes. So,
we're actually going to do the Books of the Week for the past 2 weeks, because last week we didn't have a regular episode.
Right.
We had the Walking Dead episode, which I hope you guys like. So, I'll start with my Books of the Week for last week. Book of the Week for last week, which was Batman 24.
Yeah.
Awesome. Did you guys read it?
I did. I read Batman 24.
I don't get a chance to look at DC Comics too much.
Okay. First of all, here's the thing.
It's okay.
When I saw the price tag, I was like, whoa!
Yeah, no.
But then I picked it up, and it's a hefty,
it's a hefty book.
It's worth every bit of the price.
Absolutely.
But you have to buy it if you're reading Batman, because it's in the story. So they kind of got you there, because they're like, $7 book, but guess what? It's the
important
part of the story. Yeah,
it's kind of what we've been leading up to this whole time.
Right, so they're just like, deal with it. Suck a butt.
So the only part that I didn't like was that halfway through they got a different artist, and there wasn't really any reason to...
Well, the story sort of changed there. Sort of. Who was the second artist?
No,
it was the American Vampire guy, right? Raphael Albuquerque?
Maybe.
Is that
correct? Sounds about right.
Who also did Animal Man this week,
and
beautiful.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
But anyway, Batman.
He's a really good artist. But anyway, yeah.
I really enjoyed it because they paid perfect homage.
Yep.
Homage.
Yeah.
To,
We're good at pronouncing stuff.
That reminds me of Cop Out. I'm going to lay down some homage. I edited a few words there.
Probably for
Cop Out, the movie that's responsible for Bruce Willis and Kevin Smith hating each other.
Which is sad.
It is. Anyway.
To be honest, I don't think Bruce Willis needed that much of a push for anybody to not really care for him. I mean...
Apparently, he's the sun and the moon. It just depends. When he's on the set for any Die Hard movie, he's just like, yeah, I'm so into this because this is my character. I built it. And then he's like, why am I here with Tracy Morgan?
Yeah, exactly. Bruce Willis will never be on this podcast, so I don't think...
It's probably fine. I keep getting rejection letters.
Yeah, I don't think for...
But at least he handwrites them. Very classic. Very classic.
He actually has great handwriting. Anyway.
He just sketches his little middle finger in the
Are you continuing on with your Book of the Week last week? Or?
Yeah,
okay, good.
Just a couple of... I really enjoyed how they did a lot of nods to Detective 27.
Oh, yeah. Well, with the purple gloves?
With the purple gloves, which is perfect. They absolutely have to keep it for as long as they possibly can. The trunks, I'm fine with them losing that. But it was really cool, and I'm sure you guys have read Year One. Well, I'm sure you have at
least. Yeah.
That's the absolute best you're ever going to get as a Batman origin. It's set in stone. That's what it is. But this is a really good kind of... It's not really an origin because we already know that, but it's something that you can be proud of as a Batman fan, which I think is huge.
And it kind of gives you a glimpse into maybe this is how the Joker was created, maybe it wasn't. So.
Well, because you texted me and you didn't like that they you thought that they cemented the Joker's origin, which I don't think they did.
No.
They left it very open.
Yeah.
That was my book of the week.
So, do you want to go ahead and cover my book of the week?
Yeah,
week?
Yeah, we'll do it that way.
All right. Then my book of the week from last week for October 9th was Superman Wonder Woman.
By old Snarl Soul.
Yeah, by Charles Soule. And my book this week is going to be a Charles Soule book, too, so... You guys can come... You guys... It's fine. Because, as the person who coined the term Soul Seeker for Charles Soule fans... We will tonight. As the person who coined that term, I feel like I should be the first one, shouldn't I?
Sure.
It makes sense.
Sure.
So,
I'm feeling that deep, like, on the other end of the phone, he's like, this guy, man.
You're like Batmite right now.
I'm going to just dress like him. Next time we go to a con that Charles Soule's there, I'm going to just dress like Charles Soule and be like, hey.
And just, like, draw his face. Like, don't get an actual tattoo. But just like, hey, man, look what I got.
Like, right under Swamp Thing, just have Charles Soule's face, like, smiling.
Like, over Lin Wein.
Yeah,
stuff.
No,
like,
I mean...
Put it on your right arm so it's clearly, like, you drew it.
Yeah. That'd be adorable.
Just, you know, yeah, he totally
would. I think he would appreciate that as a person. I'm not a stalker, guys. I just like his work.
Nah,
anyway.
Okay. Fair enough.
Anyway, Superman Wonder Woman was a great book because it had, like... I was worried with that book because... I was like, is this going to be just some, like, soap opera romantic?
That's exactly what I thought.
And it did have that stuff, but really well done.
Yeah.
And also, it had so much action.
It really did. And I was kind of surprised, too, at how decent it actually was.
Yeah.
Because I love Charles Soule. Not as much as you do, but I definitely love... I picked up all of his books thus far. So,
yeah.
But I was genuinely worried that... Because I'm not a huge Superman fan... Nor am I a huge Wonder Woman fan. Together as the power couple, I was wasn't super excited about it, but it was actually really, really, really good. Something I'm definitely adding to my
list. Yeah, and the big spoiler for the end of that issue was that, like, the person they're fighting is Doomsday.
Yeah.
Who, if you know anything about Superman mythos, is the person who killed Superman.
Yeah.
So, like, Wonder Woman, at the end of the book, is Wonder Woman facing off against him by herself. So I want to see how that ends
up. I will
say,
just that appearance of Doomsday was better than the entire Villains Month Doomsday. Seriously.
Right.
In the face.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah,
but
that's pretty cool.
All around, just a really solid book. And the art, Tony S. Daniels, who, he did all of Grant Morrison's Batman run. He did the art for that, and it was spectacular.
Yeah.
But then he started writing Batman and doing the art, and it kind of fell apart. And I'm sure a lot of that had to do with he was busy writing and drawing it. It's a little harder. But then he did the art for this Superman Wonder Woman, and it's back to like that A-plus artwork that he was doing for Batman.
Can I ask you something from a longtime comics fan? Obviously.
Okay.
Why do people like Tony Daniels' art so much but hate Jim Lee's art? Because
they're very similar.
I don't understand. Because I love,
I love both of them. I don't know.
I love Jim Lee's art.
I genuinely love it. It was Hush was one of the first things that I ever read art by Jim Lee, and I was like, this is ridiculously good. And then I go on, you know, the internets because I'm stupid, and everybody hates Jim Lee, and I don't understand. But
I don't either.
Maybe it's just the whole X-Men.
A lot of it,
bad.
I think, he doesn't finish a lot of projects.
He's kind
of
slow, yeah.
And so that kind of makes people mad. But
when you're that high up in DC's zeitgeist, anyway, like, I mean, he's right up there with Geoff Johns and Dan DiDio. I mean, he's huge in DC.
Yeah.
So I mean, how much time do they really have? to draw a monthly series, you know.
Yeah, and he's going to meetings,
right?
Every day.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get it. I know
what it would be like to sit in those meetings. Cause you know how normally you get in trouble for like doodling. What if I think they're all just like doodling? Like,
they have to.
Yeah,
they get in trouble for not doodling.
Right. Like, hey, you
Jim, stop paying so much close attention. Start drawing.
Well, Jim Lee was actually
on pen and paper now.
He was on Fat Man on Batman not too long ago. And Kevin Smith started off, like, on the episode, he was like, by the way, just so everybody knows this, while we were interviewing each other, he was just drawing Harley Quinn, just, like, a huge...
Yeah.
Just because that's what he does.
Well, yeah, that's...
Like, that's how he turns
actually,
his brain off.
Right.
Like, he just draws.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. But...
I turn my brain off with beer.
Yeah.
All right,
cocaine
so
for me. Cocaine okay. for sure.
So back to you. Let's keep rolling because we do have 2 weeks worth of books to cover. What was your book of the week for this week?
It was actually Invincible 106,
which wasn't that your dud book last month, if I remember correctly.
It was definitely my book last week, last month. But it was just it got back to. I think I'm the only person here that reads Invincible. Yes,
I think that's probably accurate.
Okay, well that's okay.
My cousin loves it.
I don't know how to read.
How's your cousin?
So.
He's our age.
Okay. Yeah. That is really I thought you were going to try to talk down.
My 2-year-old cousin loves it.
Well read for a 2-year-old.
Yeah, I mean, very well read.
he just likes the pictures.
Love it.
My daddy's yours.
Suddenly, to be a rich 2-year-old, you also, or a smart 2-year-old, you also have to be rich.
Reading Invincible.
Right.
There's like
it's
a real
the
like,
book of the rich.
There's like a niche.
Invincible.
That's all they sell.
The tagline: the book of the rich.
That's all they sell up at Geist.
We need to we need to send that into Kirkman for sure. But no, it was. It got back to what I genuinely love about Invincible, that it doesn't take itself so seriously, and it has just probably the funniest moment in the entire series that I have read, and it genuinely made me laugh, and it was this whole week I think was kind of I didn't really have a ton of books that actually just stood out as much as this one did, so that's why I went with that one, but you absolutely need to read Invincible if you're not.
I should probably pick that up.
Got all the trades, bro.
There's like 92 trades or something.
Close. There's 18, so.
It's a lot.
Those two numbers are very close.
Very close.
Yeah,
on a number line.
Well, 9 times 2 is 8. 9 times 2 is 18, and 92...
Clear not.
I learned all this magic with numbers from Charles Soule, by the way, who just loves numbers. Every book, like, read 27... And Stranger Tractors, which are both by him, and it's just about magic numbers.
Yeah.
Like, it's
clearly
crazy stuff.
2-year-old cousin from School of Rock, the brainchild.
I think he's the 2-year-old cousin.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is...
Anywho.
Your book of the week.
Speaking of Charles Soule. Well, first, before I get to my book of the week, I do want to mention that normally I don't like Matt Kent's superhero stuff.
Yeah.
Right? His creator was good, but... His
My
superhero stuff
is awesome.
Just like meh.
Yeah.
But I read Justice League of America this week, and it was by him, and a really good book.
Yeah.
Like, would have been my book of the week if my actual book of the week hadn't come out. And
it's definitely worth a nod, for sure.
Yeah.
It was actually really good.
Well, it kind of shows you where the Justice League is. You know, in Forever Evil, they're saying the Justice League is dead, which clearly they're not, of course, because of the Justice League.
Right.
But basically what is revealed is that they're in this... inescapable, like, prison of their minds. Like, everyone's own cell is, like, something that they can't break away
Real
from. Or Shazam's, I liked, is not that he can't break away from it. He's fully powered.
Yeah.
He just won't because it's, like, everything he's ever wanted as a, like, the child inside of him is, like,
the way that,
having fun.
That happened to Superman one point where they tricked him into thinking, like, he was at home and he was, like, hanging out with his dad and stuff.
Yeah, that's basically the idea here.
Yeah, like, basically, like...
That's from a Mongol story, because Mongol uses this plant that,
like, what it was.
Brainwashes you. And that was what I was getting at is...
Marijuana.
I wonder if... Because Mongol's part of the secret society of supervillains that's hanging out with the crime syndicate.
Maybe he's the one.
I'm wondering if he's responsible for that, because it seemed very reminiscent of, like, the old, like, Mongol stuff whenever he would do those
things. Well, Jeff Johns does, I mean... Well, and I guess... JLA isn't Jeff Johns anymore, but
he's plotting that whole thing.
Yeah, he definitely, he's behind the scenes.
Yeah,
so, he's Steve Jobs in it.
But great, it's
from the Groom.
Fantastic, fantastic story.
Good one.
Still really good.
Well, highbrow
which
stuff.
I was afraid with him switching with it switching writers, it wouldn't stay consistent. But it is actually really good.
Also, Guardians of the Galaxy is worth a nod.
Another notable. Which do you want to talk about that real quick? Since you're here and you read that. Like,
we feel like we've talked over you the entire time.
Yeah, things that
I'm really just here to blurt little
little gems in there.
That's
uncussword Tourette's.
You're a real Rob Scorion, and just that you're gonna like.
I like them all.
I
liked every page of Guardians of the Galaxy.
It was good.
It was really good
with those words and junk.
I enjoyed how they put that person there.
One of the things I really liked was the way they played off the humor angle. Like, the line where Tony Stark, like, I wanted to just say Chris Pratt there.
Yeah.
But Star-Lord is just...
It's Chris Pratt.
Just keeps joking the whole time in this serious situation. And Tony Stark actually calls him out, and he's like, you're worse than three Spider-Mans. And I thought that line was really good. Like, I really like that. That he's just like,
dude,
he's getting annoyed by how jokey he is. And I feel like that's how I would be as a superhero, is I would not be able to take things seriously. And
well, you're always about to die.
It would get me in trouble.
Yeah.
I'd just be like,
at any minute.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, what was your book of the week?
Oh, so yeah. My book of the week is Letter 44, which is by Charles Soule and not Raphael Albuquerque, but Alberto Albuquerque, who I don't know if they're related. But,
I don't know how you don't. I have a feeling
Albuquerque.
That's
not
all,
really,
folks.
But
really.
both great artists. This book is basically, I didn't know what to expect because it's just called Letter 44 and has a president on the front.
Yeah.
The premise of the book is that there's this secret mission in space that has been taking place for years and years and years, where this group, this crew of a space shuttle has gone out to find this space weapon that aliens are building to destroy the Earth. Mm. And nobody knows about it except for the president and, like, three other people.
Yeah.
And so it basically starts out, and this is what I wanted to talk. This is why I emailed Charles Soule today and was like, hey, can we get an interview with you? Because I wanted to discuss this with him a little bit. But it basically is like, they kind of implied that the president before, previous to the president who's the main character in this book, was like a George Bush type.
Oh,
and everyone was just like, he was a big dummy and all this stuff. But then he gets the letter from this president and he's like, I know you don't respect me at all. Like, apparently the idea is that every president leaves a letter for the president after him. Kind of like filling him in on this is what's happening.
Yeah.
And basically he's like, I wasn't an idiot and I know it seemed like it, but I had to basically like I said, it's very George Bush Jr.-esque. But the whole thing is like, I know I started all these wars that we didn't need to get involved in, but the whole reason I did that is because I'm training our army to be ready for this alien invasion.
And like, he was like, and I needed the money to kind of invest in research and development.
Right.
For,
right. And so,
a genius.
So that's why I kind of want to talk to him about it. I was like, I wonder if he, like, understands how politics work a little more. Just because, I don't know, because he's a lawyer and stuff. So maybe he understands.
Because
I know, like, I have my brothers in the military, and I have, you know, a lot of friends that are in the military. And I have heard, like, they cannot say anything, but they always, like, everyone that I know, like, as soon as they get through all their training stuff, they're like, no, but seriously, what, like, put, well, that's weird.
That's
this, like, just put this president here, whatever name, they're like, was not as bad as you think because they had to deal with this thing that we can't talk about.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the premise.
Jeez.
And so now there's this crew in space that is dealing with this thing, and the new president is like, is this guy messing with me? Like, this letter can't be real. He was an idiot, right? And then he talks to, like, his board of whatever, and they're all like, no, this is real. We just couldn't tell you until you were actually the president. Yeah. Because we can't risk it getting out. And so, that's already interesting in itself.
Yeah.
But then, this is what really got me, is the whole space crew is just full of interesting characters. And one of my complaints about S.H.I.E.L.D. and many other things is when there's not developed characters. Like, there's all these characters, but no reason. Like, the first episode of Walking Dead this season, I feel like I still love Walking Dead a lot, but there's all these new characters that we got from the end of the last season.
They introduced, like, six characters
did
and
you,
then killed
did
like
you watch
three.
Talking Dead and how that was explained?
I didn't, but
okay.
I just...
You will regret your next statement, then.
I just get...
I watched it.
I was just going to say, I instantly want to be attached to characters. Like, that is what I want from the beginning. I want to be like, okay, I want to see where this is going.
Well, that's easy coming from somebody who found their soulmate in high school.
Well, true. Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Wait, Charles' soulmate.
I was
going to
say, you just said soulmate. Why was that not...
Soulmates is actually a good one, too.
Okay.
Dang it!
Why didn't you go with that?
Dang it, that's actually better than Soul Seekers. Crap! Okay, well, I'm retracting Soul Seekers now. No, Charles Soulmates are soulmates. That's genius.
Will you be my soulmate?
Okay, well, all right. We're going to tweet that to him later.
Yeah.
Coming back
He'll
to...
love that.
Coming back to...
SMH.
Coming back to letter 44.
He just deletes his Twitter account right after. He's like,
done.
He ripped up Twitter.
S.H.I.E.L.D. after four episodes is finally starting to make me care about the characters. And
which was hard to
it took forever to get there. Why couldn't that have been the first episode? Just right there, here's why you should like these characters.
Yeah, the third episode was actually fairly...
Letter 44, instantly the crew on the spaceship is like, everyone is likable.
Yeah.
But for different reasons. They're not all the same character. Like, the leader of the crew is this woman who's really strong female character. And she's like a strong leader. And then you find out she's been in space for all this time. And... surprise, after she gets off the camera, you realize that she's only been shot from, like, the shoulders up, and she's pregnant in space on this dangerous mission, and she's still being, like, tough and awesome. Yeah. And then there's, this...
hormones.
Right.
There's this, like, older...
You know.
There's this older guy who... this older guy
who
they're setting us up to believe that, I guess, that older guy is the dad of the baby.
Yeah.
I'm guessing. And then
not the older guy, the Guile lookalike, the guy with the short blonde.
Okay, the blonde guy.
Yeah.
But the older guy's like a dad.
The
Guile,
yes.
But the older guy with the ponytail was like a dad type. He was real comforting to her.
Yeah, yeah.
And
he's definitely like the doctor sort of.
And so there's like this whole crew of people, and there's maybe like eight characters, and every one of them had something interesting. Like there's this one who's like really into God and like super religious. And then, like, his buddies not so much.
Yeah.
And that sounds like a movie.
Conflict.
Like,
it was very... when I was reading it, I was like, this is very Whedon-esque.
It has a feel of, like... Well, like we had talked about, it has a feel of, like, Independence Day and Apollo 13
and
Alien. Like, all those movies where, like, this crew that shouldn't really get along gets along.
Like, she's very much Ripley.
Yeah, definitely.
Ripley, like, he's kind of halfway into it. That's when she becomes...
Sigourney Weaver.
But it's very...
In
just
Alien.
And we'll talk about Alien when we get to the Monster Special later on this month. Because the Monster Special is going to focus on that a lot.
Sure.
But
Sigourney Weaver's butt.
Yeah. But anyway, Letter 44 is...
Right to your job?
Letter 44 was only $1, too.
Was it really?
Yeah. So, $1 book... Starts off strong. Yeah,
I mean,
just go get it. Like, I don't even know why anyone wouldn't buy it. Just go buy Letter 44 because it's $1. It's $1 and it's a really good read.
No, it was very, very good.
And it's going to be an ongoing, which how do you do that with a presidency?
Is
like,
it going to be $1 next time,
president?
Too?
I guess, yeah. What?
Is it going to be $1 on the second issue, too?
No. It'll be a $3 book, I'm sure. Maybe four.
I'll buy it for $5.
Only Press is normally pretty good about keeping their prices low, so it's probably a $2 book, $3 book. Maybe.
And honestly, I didn't know anything by Omnisource, and then when I actually saw, you know, they did like the Sixth Gun and stuff.
Scott
like
Pilgrim
that.
Is their big book.
See,
yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, totally. Like, I just didn't know that.
Yeah.
Know?
So
you get wrapped up in the big three, and you're just kind of.
But if you're out to, if you're like me, and you're out to become a soulmate. Letter 44 is a great one to start with.
Should I be jealous? I feel like I should be jealous.
Oh,
well,
you
I was actually talking about you when I made the comment.
Yeah, and he just created... Because I had started calling Charles Soule fans Soul Seekers, and I thought that was great, and a lot of people were really liking that. And then I mentioned how I like characters to be developed right away. And
like he wants to
I want instantly
right
to connect.
Away.
And he said, well, that's easy for someone who met their soulmate in high school. And... then they click that is what Charles Soule fans should be as soulmates. Duh.
First of all,
how did I miss that?
Who liked the Soul Seeker? Because I know I sure did.
Rob and Dare at Comic Book University were both fans of it.
Dare and Rob.
Yeah.
Dare and Rob.
So two human beings.
They couldn't be more different from each other.
I think they just gave it to you. They're just like, yeah, whatever.
And as Warner left, they're like,
wow, Soul Seekers.
It's kind of like when you told them that you're naming the podcast the N-word.
Yeah.
No, Rob instantly
he was like, yeah, no,
you can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
at all.
all right, so our moment of glory this week actually is not a comic book. It's basically, since we're covering 2 weeks, we're going to just talk about Arrow coming back.
Yes!
Holy crap, that show.
Oh, so good.
It's the best show on... It's the best, like, superhero show on TV.
All sorts of pants.
Who basically panned for you guys to watch
this show? The thing is, I don't just say, I would like to watch this show. I wait till Warner says yes or no, and then I go based on his opinion, which I probably shouldn't have, because I freaking love Arrow.
Yeah.
And Kayla's watching it now. She's halfway through season one.
Starting out, I wasn't sure what, like...
I watched the first two episodes of season one and shut it off last year. Yeah. I was like, oh, that had promise.
But those first
episodes weren't that good.
No, they were so...
The Smallville knockoff needs to just go away.
Yeah, the first two episodes were so bad.
Where's Kristen Crook?
Yeah. But then it became its own thing, and...
And now it's great.
Now it's awesome.
So you can watch it now?
Yeah.
And what I love about it is they took the internet and actually...
Yes.
They were like, okay, sure.
And they literally took a show that is already super successful and changed the few things that people were complaining about. Yeah. Like, him being called the Vigilante.
Yeah, right.
Now he's at least going to be called Arrow, but maybe Green Arrow.
He's going to be called Green Arrow because they set up Speedy.
Well, they gave him the red arrow way he gets a hold of him. Oh, it's so awesome.
Yeah.
But then they're also setting up Black Canary.
Yeah.
Also in this this week's episode, the main antagonist. The guy that was actually at the fundraiser was named Sebastian Blood.
Who is Brother Blood.
Brother Blood.
Who is also
just a jerk.
Yeah.
Also, I was reading an interview today. He's the villain of this arc, season. He's totally going to start
Lemire,
a cult, right?
Lemire was actually named in the show as the police scanner was like, there's somebody on Lemire Avenue.
Yeah.
And so he's actually kind of co-writing that, and Sebastian Blood's in it, and Brother Blood is in Animal Man,
Fairly certain that there's going to be a big Brother Blood thing in the end
so
of this arc.
Awesome.
That
and
actor is from True Blood.
Yes, he is.
He's a gay witch on True Blood.
that actor is from True Blood, and he's an awesome actor.
Yeah.
And I was like, I recognize this guy.
I know.
He did such a good job of being so different than he was on True Blood. Because True Blood, he's just like this really nice guy that likes to help people.
He also has dark brown hair, so it's hard to see him as blonde.
But then in this, he was like just this kind of jerk who... Yeah. And this is what I love about Arrow's villains is... He's a villain only because he wants to do the right thing in the wrong way.
Right.
Same way that Merlin was in the first season. Mm-hmm. He had good ideas.
Yeah,
he was like a Hitler-esque, on paper.
Right.
Merlin seemed like he had a good plan.
I'm gonna fix the plane.
Yeah.
How
do you fix poverty? Just destroy everyone that's poor?
That guy was just playing... The new guy is just playing off of everybody's, like... sorrow and pain,
he's clearly going to be get all these people behind him and be like, hey, let's start this Church of Blood, and then he's going to be like the cult leader and get all weird, and it's going to be awesome.
And it just ticked me off for Ollie because he was like, but I saved the hospital.
Right. He's like, you just realize
I did have two kind of gripes. I don't like that Katie Cassidy is not... She is such a jerk, and I can't stand her character. But Diana Lance... is not Black Canary, which is kind of a bummer.
It is.
It's going to be someone called Sarah Lance.
Is it?
That's her name.
But Sarah Lance is her sister.
But that's
dead.
Yeah.
But
she's Black Canary. All you got to do is go on IMDb, and she's listed under Sarah Lance.
Speaking of
spoilers,
that's the voice of River Song, who plays the Lance girl's mom in Arrow.
There are two Doctor Who alumni in the first season of Arrow,
and then just like three people from True Blood. It's like the best of TV acting goes to Arrow when they're done with whatever their good thing is.
Yeah.
So it's just going to keep getting better. And then,
River Song's American accent, spot on.
It's not bad.
Except sometimes it's so forced, like her T's are really, where we would not really care about that.
At least she's not like, do like a southern accent. Like,
she's no Rebel Wilson, am I right?
Oh my goodness, that show is terrible.
I hate Rebel Wilson.
You know what I'm really happy about Arrow is the fact that Diggle and Carly are over, because I really didn't care.
Yeah. I like that Felicity is like... She's very much her own.
So funny.
Yeah. She's hilarious.
I love her.
And she
her.
Brought him coffee. How adorable.
Yeah. That show's just great. And
I did. Bronze Tiger kind of bummed me out a little bit because they didn't really develop him at all. And I hope he's in it more.
I hope he gets a tiger mask.
That
would be awesome.
I don't like that he has Wolverine.
I was like, what is this, a Wolverine?
I was like, why is Wolverine in a DC show?
Bronze Tiger has those, like, whatever those claw things are called in the comics, but he normally wears a tiger mask, like literally a big tiger head.
But I think it's great that Spawn is acting again.
Yeah. Right.
Well, he's in Mortal Kombat's web series.
Yeah, Jax.
Yeah.
He plays Jax.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a big, just nerd fanboy.
Yeah, he's.
And so he loves doing this kind of stuff. But the show's great. And speaking of nerd fanboys, a really big Flash fan is going to be playing the Flash in Arrow. Episodes 8 and 9 he's in, and then
the
season finale is actually kind of like a soft pilot for the Flash TV
awesome.
Show.
Yeah.
And so it's basically just going to be the Flash's origin is the finale of Arrow.
So we should probably watch that.
Have a party.
Oh, totally.
Yeah,
that means that season eight is the first one with him, or
episode eight and episode nine are the Barry Allen episodes.
Those two are going to be huge. Like it's going to be a huge thing. Or,
and they need to be. Like people need to watch those so that that gets ratings because of him, so that Flash show can get picked up.
Well, also, I mean, if those do well and they get ratings, maybe they use him. For the movies,
that's
which
like,
I really
they don't have.
They said that these universes are connected, but they may recast for the movies, and that upsets me because I want these guys who have worked hard on the TV show to be able,
they've
earned it.
So now we don't know. Maybe the guy who is cast in the show will be like a Wally West sort of thing, and then
he's Barry Allen.
Okay, so it'll be Wally West or some.
I really hope that Grant Gustin, who's the he's playing Barry Allen in Arrow.
GG.
I hope that he gets to do the Flash show, and I hope he gets to play the Flash in the movies. Like, he's earned it. He's a big Flash fan, and he's a little young. But Michael and I have talked about this: a young Flash paired up with like an old,
grizzled
like weathered,
Batman.
Grizzled Batman is like the coolest thing ever. And it's going to have this really awesome dynamic.
I'm so sick of you.
And Superman's going to be, like, unsure of himself.
Yeah.
And, the team will be so different than the Avengers, where everyone's very confident and very strong. It's going to be like, you've got Batman who's like, oh, these idiots. And Superman's, like, just wrecking into buildings. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And then the Flash is just, like, running. He's like, I don't know what I need to be doing right now.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, so, like, it could be a really cool dynamic if they use the same cast.
I feel like they're definitely...
And Stephen Amell is perfect for Arrow. Like, he needs to be Green Arrow in the movie as well.
There needs to be a montage of a, look what I can do in that movie.
Yeah. quick question about Man of Steel. When you have laser vision, can you not move your eyes?
Well, that's the same thing with, like, Cyclops... from the X-Men, like, wherever you look, that's where your eye beams are going to be, right? So, how does he just not kill everyone every time that he opens his eyes?
I would assume that the visor has a focusing laser.
I guess that's why he has to do the...
However, Superman's eyeballs can just look places.
Yeah.
Well, Superman turns it on and off.
Yeah,
right.
And Scott Summers can't.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, really, I guess I'm talking about...
Time to jump over to our news flash real quick.
Yeah, woo! Is there... Oh.
If you're ready for that moment. Receiving transmission from David
Garrett, Nicola Tenney. I don't like that you guys all play with your nips at that scene.
That's where it's supposed to
go. Anyway, news number one. Marvel TV announces Netflix original series. Mm-hmm. Number two. Marvel is finally reprinting Miracle Man. We're all really excited about that. Number three, Pokemon X and Y are the highest-selling Pokemon games to date, up to 70% to the last Pokemon release.
Put it away, Alec.
Okay, so let's talk about this new story number one real quick. We don't have a lot of time to go through these, but we'll kind of briefly graze them. First of all, Michael brought to my attention the thing about the Netflix original series, and it's rumored, and I couldn't find confirmation anywhere for sure, but it's rumored that there's going to be an Agent Carter show. Which
that's
is,
almost
100%. That one is like, yeah, that was the one I saw
well,
the most
she
about.
She did an interview where she was like, oh, I would totally come back if...
And basically it's like post-World War II, what does she do after she was the person who like basically started Captain America?
Spoiler, she dies.
Well, yeah. Eventually, she will die.
She will
just at one point in time
World
after. It's almost the precursor of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I think they're giving her too much credit because she's kind of a... She's not really... She's like an ancillary character.
Right.
But they're going to give her too much credit for S.H.I.E.L.D. But she just has big personality. And that's just going to have just...
Hayley Atwell is just so smart.
My favorite news.
My
favorite news story from all of this, though, is that potentially Punisher Warzone. That sounds cool, but potentially a Daredevil
Man Without Fear.
Yeah. That sounds awesome. Like Daredevil needs to be a TV show. I've said that for a long time, but it needs to be on a cable network. Well, Netflix is about as good as you can get,
right?
Because they have no rules.
No,
they can do whatever they want.
None.
So Daredevil can be really
is
gritty.
Where is it
going
to air?
On
the
Netflix.
Internet.
Like
Arrested Development?
No,
like every couple of weeks they release.
Like Arrested Development
just
season 4.
Arrested
like,
Development was the whole season was online.
Yeah, they just did this.
Yeah. Have fun,
we
guys.
We should probably just get it. Like,
I think that's probably in the
closet. Yeah, that's
course.
And then a fourth one that no one knows.
Yeah, there's not even any rumors about it.
And I think we talked about this before. It'd be so awesome if they did a serial Fantastic Four, just like every episode.
Yes. Yes,
I like that. I was also thinking Silver Surfer.
That's
like
cool.
Nova Corps, Silver Surfer,
that'd
tie-in
so
of
awesome.
Guardians, but that would also go with
just
Fantastic
like
Four.
Something that's completely different every episode, like kind of what's being written right now.
Right. Second news story is the most exciting thing ever. Marvel finally reprinting Miracle Man, which, if for those of you who don't know, there was this character in the 50s named Marvel Man. And he's basically Shazam. It's a little kid that uses magic bracelets and then becomes this super powerful, can do anything. And the great thing about those old stories is, like, whatever power they wanted him to have, he could have. Like, for this, he needs to be able to, like, freeze water with his sight. And so he can. And so it was, like, a really cheesy character.
It's
well,
kind of like Adam West Batman.
In the
80s,
a lot of really big-name writers, like Alan Moore wrote it for a long time,
right.
Neil Gaiman wrote it for a long time, and they started writing it. But at that point, Marvel had become a comic book company and said, you can't call him Marvel Man. So like, fine, his name's Miracle Man now. And so he was called Miracle Man. Well, it was for a company called Eclipse Comics,
mm-hmm.
which Todd McFarlane eventually bought and then bankrupt. So,
way to go.
Okay, so here's what happened. So for years and years and years, people have been wanting to read this, but it's never been reprinted because Marvel bought that character. Then they're like, okay, we own Marvel Man, sweet. Well, then everyone was like, hold up, you can't reprint this because technically he was Miracle Man, and that's all your fault, Marvel, because we had to change his name. And Eclipse owned Miracle Man, so therefore Todd McFarlane owns it. So Todd McFarlane was being a real.
Being a real McFarlane.
Yeah. So he wouldn't let go of those rights. And then Alan Moore, of course, is just like, whatever, do whatever you want, I don't care. And I don't even care.
Do your Alan Moore impression while you're saying
I don't even care about Miracle Man or Marvel Man or Swamp Thing. Only thing I ever care about was Watchmen, and they screwed me with that, so I won't really care about
what does he say on The Simpsons?
Oh, little Lulu, I love Lulu just the same. I love Alan Moore, but he does not love anything. He hates everything. So, Alan Moore doesn't care.
He's the original hipster.
So Alan Moore doesn't care. But then Neil Gaiman's like, hold up, I wrote a big chunk of this and created characters. Like, I own this.
Yeah.
And so there was a huge thing between Marvel and Todd McFarlane and Neil Gaiman. Finally, they came to some agreement some years ago, and Marvel was like, we can finally do stuff with it. But
I think
they
it was the
didn't.
Same deal with Angela to be able to put her in Guardians.
But then they didn't do anything with it for a long time, and so now finally at New York Comic Con they announced we are reprinting the whole thing, and I'm so excited. But they're starting with issues. I'm not going to buy the individual issues. I just want collected trades. Like that's
you'll buy the first issue and then you'll just wait.
Yes,
for the trade.
But I really want just like the biggest omnibus of Miracle. I just want to be able to sit down in a day and read all of it. That's what I want because I've always wanted to read it and I've heard great things. And it's just so hard to get a hold of.
Yeah.
But now it's not. Now it's going to be easy, and I'm really excited for new generations of fans to read that.
Yeah.
So, news story number 3. I'm going to let you take it from here, Alec.
Pokemon X and Y, which I kind of talked about it in the video game episode, which may not have come out, but it, well, it could, shit, teardrop, it's,
that was like a kidney stab, I believe,
but, we are, it's the best Pokemon game that's come out since my personal favorites, which are, the original three, for me at least, it's absolutely perfect. And it's not just perfect for kids. It's perfect for people like me who grew up with it.
And kind obviously
of,
me.
Right, exactly.
I'm
kind
a
of
closet
fell out
Pokemon
of it,
player.
Kind of fell out of it, and now that it's on 3DS and it's in 3D.
And it can hurt your eyes!
it's perfect. And the success that it's come with, I mean, they don't deserve it. There's not a company out there that doesn't deserve it, just like Nintendo, so.
Especially because the one Nintendo guy died.
Now,
sorry.
Now, we don't have a lot of time to talk about this, so we'll move it on to our monster special. We'll make room for it. But I did want to note that for Books of the Week, we had a book that both of us just loved for October 9th, and so much so that we didn't even think Book of the Week was enough for it, so we wanted to do a spotlight.
Yeah.
So we'll go ahead and do that spotlight on the monster episode.
Because it fits
right.
with it, yeah.
But we do want to mention that the best book of October 9th, and this could be like the best book of the past few months,
absolutely,
was Afterlife with Archie.
It something that really? I completely had no
expectations
for whatsoever, and it absolutely blew
it's Roberto Aguirre Sacasa wrote it, who works. He does a lot of work on TV now, mostly. Like I know he's a producer on Glee, and he writes a lot of it.
Woo.
But he's actually a really great writer. One of my favorite single issues of Spider-Man. Was written by him, and it was when Sensational Spider-Man was a thing. One of my favorite Fantastic Four runs, it was just called Four, and it was written by him, and it was solid all the way through.
Were
and
they
now,
not fantastic?
They weren't. They had actually lost all their funding and basically had to get normal people jobs, and it was just a great story.
The
but,
janitor
yeah.
Four.
But anyway...
can you imagine just, like, the thing being, like, in a ticket booth just, like, enjoy the movie?
So they...
it's just like an IT guy, like... what's the Mac doing?
And this is exactly why this is the longest episode to date, is because of stuff like this. And Alex's phone ringing earlier in the episode.
No one knew about that.
Aguirre Sacasa wrote this amazing Afterlife with Archie, and he's going to continue to write it as an ongoing. And the artist was Francesco Francavilla. I've said many times, probably my favorite modern horror artist. He's just spot on. He uses a lot of oranges and purples, and just looks really cool. Like
I'm sold.
Gets it creepy
it was,
looking.
The book was gorgeous. I mean,
it was, and it had the gorgeous. Saddest moments. And Sabrina the Teenage Witch is in it,
which is actually an Archie.
Yeah,
I did not know that. She
yeah,
originated
and,
in Archie.
Just some of the saddest stuff. The like most unnerved I've been in a long time reading a comic. Like Walking Dead unnerves me, but this was worse than that. And I couldn't sleep after I read it. I was like,
yeah.
So I want to talk more about that
when we
get to the monster episode.
In the next episode.
But anyway, for right now, we're going to move straight into our topic, which is why Michael is here. Michael is my other adult toy collector friend. Not adult toys. We don't collect adult. You know what I mean.
I'm as dilled a collector.
we are adults who... We are adults who collect children's toys.
Yeah, that's... That's equally
so much creepy.
What are your lines that you collect right now?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles by Nickelodeon.
Yes.
G.I. Joe, Real American Hero. And
we need to have some of those on there.
Yeah. Marvel Universe, big into that.
Which is now switched over to
which is now,
specific ones.
They're gonna
like
have
Avengers,
individual they're gonna have individual lines.
Yeah.
Which is hit and miss. I'll cherry pick those.
That's how I'm gonna do now too.
But my my big one's Turtles right now.
Yeah, I collect Ninja Turtles. A lot of times we will just like if there's two of anything, we'll just buy it for the other one just knowing and be like, you can give me back later. And we'll just like buy because we know that we're trying to get all of it.
Yeah.
My big ones are
Wait, do you have to catch them all?
We do. which Turtles is tough, man, because Turtles come out all the time. But I'm big into the Walking Dead figures, the McFarlane figures, and I was doing Marvel Universe, but now that's ended, I'm going
to
kind
of
cherry pick it.
You used to buy cases of those.
I used to buy DC Universe like crazy. Like, I would buy cases, whole cases of those. And then now that's over with, so I may start buying some of the DC collectibles
I will say, those look
really good.
Yeah, I was going to say, the newest line, the one that like has the Joe's Garage yep. Joker look.
They're just slightly so out of good. Scale with the DCU, though, just to make me mad. They're just like a half an inch taller.
You also collect Doctor Who figures.
I do collect Doctor Who figures. And I'm trying to get the whole entire run of the Swamp Thing figures. I have them all loose, and now I'm trying to get the packaged ones. And that's been a lot of fun. But I do a lot of collecting. Yeah, Star Wars I cherry pick because there's just too much. As a child, I used to collect Star Wars all the time. But what got me into toy collecting was Ninja Turtles originally was, like, as a kid, that started me off. Toxic Crusaders. Because, and I think this was because my parents could buy them all. Like, they saw Turtles and they were overwhelmed, and they knew I loved Turtles, but they're like, oh, here's this other thing very similar and also gross. And they're like, oh, there's only 8 figures. So they're like, we can get you 8 figures.
That's how I argued for Flip-Head Power Rangers.
So I have...
It's only these 5?
Yeah, so I have the whole line. I have the whole line of Toxic Crusaders, and same with Swamp Thing. It's a very limited run of figures. So my parents got me all those as a kid. So that's what got me into toy collecting, and then I just never stopped. Like, Star Wars was the one where I had to have everything. Like, in 95, when they launched the Star Wars, Kenner launched Star Wars again,
I had to have
every figure. And my mom would get so... She's like, why do you have 10 Han Solos? And now I just have a wife who says the same thing. Like,
about Batman, because he has 15 of them.
Do you really need 6 Landos? He's only in 2 of the movies, and he's only in 1 of the movies for like 5 minutes. So.
Is there a Wedge Antilles?
Oh, I have 3 Wedge Antilles, who is not in the movies very much at all, but my favorite character is. We've talked many, many times.
My thing is, when we started dating in high school, I remember him talking about toy collecting so much, and every time we have to go to the toy aisle first before we did anything. And I went after work. I was waitressing at Bob Evans. I went after work, and I only had $15 in tips that night. It was a really bad night. And I found this action figure that I was like, oh, I think this might be something that if he has it, I'll just bring it back. Brought it home, and he freaking flipped out.
Okay, do you remember Marvel Legends at yes. one point were not in, like, the normal bubble packaging. They were the clamshell packaging.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And those were way, like, I don't know if that was because collecting was so crazy, like, adult collectors were going so nuts. Or what we're going to talk about later with you and Toys R Us killing collectors. But he's going to give us some insider information. But if something happened where Marvel Legends back then were like really hard to get when Toy Biz was making it.
Yep.
And there were certain ones just you don't even expect.
Right.
And I had just given up. There was no way I could collect them all. And I have a bunch of them. I have most of the Toy Biz line. But Tiffany had found Hawkeye for me.
Nice.
Whoa,
which, if you know anything about those, like, the Toy Biz Hawkeye is super hard to find. And I still have that. Like,
someone probably returned that. Someone probably had that and was like, I need to eat this week. Because that's back when, was it Walmart? That was back when Walmart was like, yeah, return everything.
Yeah.
We're not jerks yet.
Right. Well, and now I absolutely love to just go out and buy Warner figures that I know he's missing because it makes him like the happiest person ever. Like,
it's like looking at 5-year-old
when I got when I picked up that Arcane, not to even compare our relationship, but when I picked up that Arcane figure, it was awesome because I knew he didn't have it.
It's schoolboy happy, like the happiest person ever. Buy him a figure.
A few weeks ago, she came home with Spider Bites and Cockroach Terminator, 2 Ninja Turtles figures I didn't have, and I was just ecstatic.
I married her all over again.
Yeah. So, but toy collecting is just, it always excites me, and I think, and explain how it is for you, Michael, but for me, it's like, and I want to get Jude involved in it when he's older, because for me, it brings back that, like, childhood sense of wonder. Like, no matter how crappy the world is...
That's why I still buy Transformers.
If I can walk into a Walmart and go to the toy aisle and find something I haven't seen before, it just makes me so excited.
That's 100%. I share that with Oliver, who is 3, so he gets to kind of enjoy that kind of stuff. Oliver's my son, not just a 3-year-old.
I just grab random 3-year-olds and take them to the toy store.
Hey, you look like an Oliver.
Can I buy you toys?
Can you touch this real quick?
Oh, my God.
The toy!
Right, sure.
I mean, come on. But I, like, he loves to go to the toy aisle, and I've basically convinced him that that's the first place you go, even before groceries.
I can't wait
if we've gone to Walmart for milk real quick, milk is the ninth thing on the list, and all of the Turtles and Joes we're missing are 1 through 8.
Yeah.
But he enjoys it, and he knows sometimes we don't get to get something every time we go, but also there's something that Daddy's missing that we can put some food back.
Right, exactly. Does Mommy really...
No oatmeal this week.
Yeah.
Looks like we're eating lunch. But it's a lot of fun. Like Warner said, it brings me back to when I was a young kid and I got to go and pick out a toy every once in a while. When I was a kid, however, I would stand there with two toys and just try and pick which one. And
I still sometimes have to do that as an adult. I'm like, I know Tiffany will be mad if I spend $20. So I have to pick one. Ah.
I can hear my mom yelling from the register. I'm leaving you.
Did you ever actually get called over the intercom? Your mother is waiting.
And none of that, but I could hear her physically screaming, which is almost worse.
Because then the whole store is calmly listening.
Because then you have to go, I don't know who that crazy lady is, but I better choose real quick. Because she's going to be mad at someone.
Back when the Power Rangers...
Purple Batman.
The 12-inch figures, I think, the ones that actually have the guns. When those first came out...
All put together to make the news.
When those first came out, me and my brother did that exact thing. We were like... I don't know. I want red and I want green, but I don't know. And our mom called 4 times over the speaker. We didn't get anything that day.
Oh, no. That's the worst.
Quick show of hands, and I have them down there somewhere. I don't want to really dig for them. But quick show of hands, who here had the white and black Arctic Batman?
Oh.
From the Kenner Batman.
From the
Batman
series?
That is a toy... Well, it's the one from when they were doing the movie toys.
Oh yeah, totally.
Santa left that in every kid in the Midwest.
Here's the thing. I have friends that didn't even like superheroes, and they had that
Arctic
toy.
Batman.
And the reason they did is like that's like ants are like, what do I buy my boy nephew? Oh, Batman.
Yeah, and that's
Arctic
the
Batman was everywhere.
When Batman Forever came out, Batman and Robin, the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger, I had the Batman, Robin, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Mr. Freeze, and Poison Ivy. And I wasn't even as big of a Batman fan as I am now. And so it just goes right along with that.
And that's why Mattel and these other companies that have DC license, all they ever want to do is not obscure characters. They just want to do Batman and Superman because they know that grandmas and aunts, when they're buying birthday presents, they're like, well, it's a boy, so Batman.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's just the default.
Yeah. Well,
if you have John Constantine on a peg hook, that's like, a parent's not going to be like, who's this guy in a trench coat? But collector's going to be like, John Constantine.
Kind of like when they came out with the Alien from Alien.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be like this really big deal, and there's a kid on the back like, look how cool this is. I'm like, this is super creepy, and it just failed. Like, no mother bought that
but
child.
But toy collecting is hard as an adult because you don't want to be weird, and Michael can attest to this.
Which is why you
tell us that story you said, and hopefully no one that was involved in this story.
Oh my goodness,
tell us the story about when you went to Toys R Us like the other week.
I was at Toys R Us last week, and I got there about 10 minutes after 10, and I'll talk about this in a little bit. I almost started this. Like 6 years ago when I worked at Toys R Us. But I saw this mid-40s gentleman, maybe a little younger, maybe a little older, with his father, elderly father. Mm-hmm. And they were physically tearing into a Ninja Turtles case like it was a fresh body on Walking Dead.
Oh, wow.
And all I could see was, in horror, this Toys R Us associate standing over them, watching them just ravage it. And I'm standing in the aisle just laughing. And finally, they went to reach for a second case, and the Toys R Us associate was finally like, oh, let me open that for you.
Right.
But I was it was just appalling.
Because they're only in it for the money if they're doing that crap.
So that's what I was saying. They're getting
four and five of
certain characters.
They took all the Mousers, they took all the Shredder, the new Shredder.
They're literally taking those and then selling them on eBay.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And I understand wanting to get one when they first hit, because that's sometimes the only time you can get them.
Yeah.
But these are for kids, and this is the thing you need to remember as a toy collector.
We have to stop being creepy.
Yeah.
Right. That's when McDonald's and when we would do like the teeny beanie babies or anything like that. We would actually have to order twice as many of the toys. And people would actually like come back to the stock room. Something that's not allowed.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we're here for the beanie babies. No, you're not. Go get your french fries and then we'll talk.
Do you guys remember the Beanie Baby craze?
Oh, it got crazy.
He was indicted recently. The guy who started Beanie Baby, I don't remember his last name, the first name's Ty.
Obviously. Yeah.
And it just tax evasion. Just as bad something as you could do. So he lost that whole empire.
That's the one thing I did.
I was in Nashville today. I saw Beanie Babies for 30 cents.
Jeez. I actually, and even though I don't collect the same toys you guys did, but when I was a kid, I collected as much McDonald's action figures that I could get.
Yeah.
Especially if it was something that I knew, like the Turtles or
Muppet Babies.
Muppet Babies or Batman or anything.
Yeah, I had all
I always loved when they had the chicken nuggets that you could put costumes on during Halloween.
I still have those.
If they did those again today, I would go to McDonald's every week and get the new ones.
This one time they did they did little handheld Sega games. Where like it was just little like Game & Watch. And I had
it was like Game & Watch
every single one of them, and I still do in a plastic bag. They all work.
Well, real quick, Michael, before we wrap this up because we are running a little long. Tell us about when you worked at Toys R Us and what like the thing that I like when I first started collecting, I remember going to Toys R Us and being like, something is going on here because I know I just got here and there weren't these and now they're on the shelf and. Figures from this line are missing, and I would get so frustrated because I would wait at Toys R Us right at opening. And I remember that's how I got my Marvel Legends Juggernaut, who was another one really hard to get. But when I got there,
backdoor dealing over there.
When I got there, the Juggernaut was still there, but I think Apocalypse maybe was in that wave or something, and he wasn't there. And I was like, I am the first customer here. How is this possible? Tell us how that was possible.
I used to keep the boxes in the back. And I would invite people in that I knew, and then also other associates at Toys R Us, and we would get the stuff we wanted out of the boxes, out of the cases. At Toys R Us, I started like with G.I. Joes and Marvel Legends because Universe wasn't a thing at the time.
You're like a drug lord.
And then people would do it with Batman and all the DC stuff, and especially Power Rangers.
Oh, yeah.
And back then, it was the Bakugan.
Yeah.
I would bring in like 15 people and we would just open the register and we would sell the stuff and then we would put the cases back on the shelf. So any collectors that I knew, I had a list and I would get the stuff for them.
So the error really, Warner, is the fact that you weren't friends with
Michael. Yeah, unfortunately, at that point I didn't know Michael, so I was the guy that was just like, who's doing this?
I wonder if you guys were like... in even the same vicinity at one point.
Probably, because like, I was at Greenwood Toys R Us all the time doing my Marvel Legends days.
Douchebag.
I want to say that had we been friends back then, I wouldn't have taken
yeah,
up that.
Yeah,
but I totally would have been like, what time do I need to be there for the Marvel Legends case? And I would have been all over that.
So were there any like
you gotta go talk to Mikey.
No.
No, they still do it? I didn't know.
I don't know if they still do it, but... the managers there at that time did not even care.
But like, okay.
They were making money.
Flip side of that,
like we were selling them at discount.
Right.
No, yeah, that's true.
Flip side of that, when I first was like, when I graduated high school and I was like, what am I going to do for a living? I was like, oh, it'd be cool to work at a place like Walmart so I could do that. Because that was my idea. But I actually found out that Walmart will fire you like, you put stuff on the shelf and if it's still there when you're done with your shift, then you can buy it.
Yeah.
But you can't. Hide things,
you can't keep things in the back, you can't buy it right away.
Yeah. It's like, just, you cannot do it. And so, obviously, if I would have known the Toys R Us was that way, I would have been like, oh, sign me up for Toys R Us.
Yeah,
but,
when the Wii came out, they actually had the whole display out at Walmart. Like, I could touch the Wii, it was there. And so what we did is make sure that we got them as we hide it. We hit them on top of the shelves. So I had all the games I wanted, all the controllers, and the only thing, they took the Wiis off and... I gave you numbers.
Yeah.
But I still got all my accessories.
Nice.
That's awesome. Sorry. Moving on.
Yeah, so toy collecting is a vicious game, but basically I think why I wanted to do this is to tell people that remember that there are still kids that want toys too, and you don't want, like, you want them to be able to grow up and be like us and be toy collectors. So the only way to do that is to let them have some... like, just don't hoard and...
don't buy five of everything.
Yeah, don't... yeah.
Well, and I think, I think even though their scale is atrocious, Playmates is combating this by just making a million of everything.
So it's not
Ninja Turtles, like, will, for the first week they're out, like, whatever the newest thing is, will be out on eBay, and they'll be super high for, like, a week. But then they'll just get flooded in the market.
The market.
And that's great because
a great way to do it, yeah.
Playmates understands that there are kids and there are collectors, so they need to have a lot of it out so that it's available.
And Playmates doesn't do variants.
Right,
they just that's not anything they've ever done.
No,
because they're like, this is, we're a kids company, but collectors are going
to
have it.
You
so
have to respect that.
We're going to make a million of everything. We may trickle out some things, but also we don't even know what the word scale means.
Yeah.
But deal with it.
Yeah,
right,
let's talk about
what
it.
What are you going to do? Not buy it?
It's time to plug the show that we like to watch and the guy that we got to meet at last CT.
Oh yeah, a good show. Although I imagine it does as much bad as it does good, but Toy Hunters is actually a really great show.
It's really good.
The guy that does it is really nice. We met him at C2E2 because he had his whole booth there and stuff.
Some of the stuff that we saw him get on the show was he was selling there. It was crazy.
He's really nice, but I think part of his show is like making people think that their stuff that's not worth anything is worth a lot. Just because sometimes things are, but people don't know the difference.
That's what Pawn Stars did, American Bakers. They're like, yeah, I got a garage full of crap.
Yeah, and it's like, leave it to the experts to decipher that, because a lot of times it's not the case.
Well, like, a lot of time he'll go in there and he'll find some of the old Mego stuff. Like, you're not going to find that in just some dude.
I have no Migos.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, check us out on Facebook and not YouTube yet. We're working on that.
Yeah.
But check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Also, we'll have our website up hopefully by the end of the year with some new content, character things, and stuff like that. Here comes Chris Banna. You can get with me on Twitter at Warner Swopes.
I'm at the Alec Ward.
At Jay Sainless.
I'm at Num007.
Nice.
At Queen Swopes.
And at Burger King Sack.
Dude, Chris Mano's Twitter handle should be Burger King Sack. That's awesome.
Burger Sack.
Anyway, be sure to get all your comics, and speaking of toys, toy collecting, comics and toys, you can buy them online as well, but if you're in the Indianapolis area, go to Comic Book University.
Yeah.
If not, you can buy all that stuff online.
Going to be in a new...
they're going to be in a new location soon.
Yeah.
And also check out Fanboy Factor, where Alec and I write reviews, and Tiffany sometimes, and...
Also,
and I've heard of it.
Yeah. Michael has heard
of
it. We want to thank Michael for coming and joining us this week, and maybe he'll join us for the next one, and we'll see you all on the eBay Quick Auction.
Now.
Oh, because we're off for recording and stuff? Yeah. Sweet.